Ben Lawrence. Okay, so important to note,
Paul Goody,
that the input level of my microphone is looking real nice. No chance of me peeking, but it might be a little bit too quiet for you when I send the audio.
Oh, when you send the audio to me.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But you can hear me?
Gotcha. Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. And the other thing that's weird is that now I'm looking at you and my audio is in a different one. Oh, look, it does the Windows thing. How nice.
Welcome to the stream. Paul has a brand new setup, and we've been trying to figure out how it works.
And it hasn't been going well. It's been...
No. We're almost a half an hour late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the other thing is that Betty's homecoming is today, which is a school thing.
Yeah.
And also there's a new Five Guys. Five Guys opened up.
Really?
Which is a restaurant, Ben. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Yeah, we have them here in Seattle, but they've been closing.
The Five Guys have been closing in Seattle. You know, I think we actually spoke about this.
We probably did.
Now that I remember. And it was weird to you that we were opening a Five Guys.
Yeah.
Right when the Five Guys were
closing. I'm wondering if that's like local economics, because it's really expensive to have a business here in Seattle. And, you know, what with all the progressive taxes.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And the high payroll, Ben,
You're sounding a little bit like a Republican right now. All these progressive taxes.
But so I'm wondering if Five Guys wants to just pull out of Seattle and open up more restaurants in places that are more Republican friendly, like the Midwest.
Ah, yes. I think I can change my name somewhere. Also, because right now it does say Dr. Bauer, which is interesting. I don't know why that's what. Oh, okay, here we go.
Your volume just got a lot
more. Rename. Here we go. Here we go. This is great.
Yay.
All right.
There we go.
And everyone listening to the podcast stream, enjoy. Think of this as ASMR. Lots of grunting for me as I simply lean over like a human being.
Don't worry. Nobody's listening anyway.
Oh, hey, there we go. Look. I did it.
Anyway, hey.
Hey.
You're all blurry and stuff. That's weird.
Wait, what's up?
Hey, you are blurry.
I'm blurry?
You're blurry.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well,
why am I blurry? You're very blurry.
I don't know. Anyway, it's we've been notified by the one listener, almost a third participant in the podcast, Stephen McCandless.
Yes.
Notified us that today is International Podcasting Day, which I did not realize. So, Paul, in this hour of unstructured talk that we have every week, what do you want to talk about?
Well, let's start off by exploring Stephen's relationship with the podcast. Stephen represents the audience in the podcast, and by that I mean, like, he is the audience of the podcast. So
usually the only one, yeah.
I think it's wonderful that he is here with us, and I enjoy it immensely. The one thing I do want to talk about, we do have a little bit of activity in the chat. I just want to say, chat participant Ben Lawrence wrote to everyone, this is at 6:21 p.m., is that a Zoom setting? And the answer is, yes, it is a Zoom setting. And if I had read that chat instead of being, I can't read the chat, I'm too busy, I might have solved this problem a little sooner.
And also the reason why it was in the chat is because you couldn't hear me, so I couldn't say it to you. And as we've discovered, you don't read my texts either, so I wasn't going to text you an option.
Yeah, and it's interesting that I don't read texts. It's not that I don't... too much. Too much. There's a little bit, and then maybe some of this.
You're still blurry AF.
You know, this is unfortunate because on my side, I look fine.
Yeah?
I'm going to double click on myself, see if I look any better.
From me, you're super blurry, like the camera's just out of focus.
Well, what if I do this? Is it more in focus?
No.
I mean, I'm using a Logitech camera.
Which are normally pretty solid cameras. And
for me, it's working fine. I look fine.
You look fine?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's my connection.
Maybe it's YouTube. Maybe it's something.
It's Zoom. It's a Zoom thing.
Oh, that's what I mean. Maybe it's a Zoom thing. You look fine to me.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, and you know, also, I'm not glitching, right?
No.
Yeah, and all I can say is, I mean, I keep on trying to figure out how to fix the blurriness for you, but because I'm not blurry for me, it doesn't work.
I wonder if it, I mean, I have you full screened on one of my monitors, which is how we're getting your picture in the window to be put out onto YouTube. But it shouldn't be that blurry. Anyway, whatever. Whatever. Let's just ignore it. It'll go away. Anyway, so you sound great. You sound better than you normally do.
I'm using the Yeti microphone. This is
hearing
really
the
nice
proper audio.
And, all right, there's some setting. The thing is that I'm going to be I'm going to be online on the 7th talking about my film. The film that I participated in, it's not my film, it's Rodney Asher's film, but right. A Glitch in the Matrix at a college, and I am a guest.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
You're going to be a... What college?
Oh, I don't know. Emerson, I think it's called.
Oh, and so you're just... They're going to be zooming you in?
That is correct. I will be zoomed in to a chat about the film.
Wow. Is that going to be
public? I don't know how many people are going to be there from the film or participants, but I am always happy to talk about how the world is not real. oh, that's me. I was like, what's that big boom sound? It's me. I would also like to talk about my favorite shirt, which is the Iowa Goat Club shirt. Says Iowa Goat Club on it, and there is a picture of a dolphin.
Yeah,
which is pretty great.
I've got a favorite shirt. It is the Ruby Vroom 1994 Mike Doty tour that he did in 2019.
Nice.
Yes,
How is Mike Doty doing?
I didn't buy this shirt at the show that I went to, but I bought it later on.
I think that's fine.
I'm assuming he's doing fine. I actually subscribe to his Patreon, so I get a new original Mike Doty song every week. I've also gotten some swag from Mike Doty. I received a signed and numbered floppy, like it's like a record, but it's not made out of vinyl. It's like made out of floppy plastic.
Oh, I remember those. Those were things.
But if you had a record player, it'll actually play. I do not have a record player, so it's just sitting on my shelf. I also received a signed cassette, which I sent to a friend as a housewarming gift.
Ooh, very nice. I do not have any of those things. I am a member of one Patreon. It's the Patreon for Unprepared Casters, which is the actual play Dungeons & Dragons podcast. And I think with it, I get the opportunity to provide like suggestions for magic items and NPCs to the show. So I get a chance to do creative work for them. Ah. And sometimes they use it. Not all the time, but sometimes. And when they do, it's really cool. And I'm like, yay, it happened.
I've not heard of it. Something else we should mention, my background is different. I don't know if you've noticed this.
Hey, but, yeah, I did notice that. Where are you at now? Are you the other side?
I'm sitting in the back row, house right.
And you used to be in the front, house left.
Well, I was like two rows down, house left. So I was like right over there. But now I'm right here because it takes up less real estate. When I was over there... 2, 4, 6, 12. I took up 18 seats.
Yeah,
if we had a show in here, which we did, which is why I had to tear it down, then that's 18 seats we couldn't sell. But now I've moved it, and this is only taking up 8 seats. So, yeah, and it's all right. You know, I've got a booster seat on the theater seats. Otherwise, I'd be sitting really low because the desk I'm on is really high.
And, Jennifer and I went to a steak and sushi place, which was really kind of good, actually, here in Edwardsville.
Steak and sushi.
Yeah, she liked half of the food, which is good.
The steak part or the sushi part?
She liked the steak part. She liked it, actually, the sushi part, too. There were some noodles that we got that she wasn't a big fan of, and there was something... the sushi that we got was actually cooked. There's a type of sushi that is kind of a... It was a crunchy roll, and in this one, in this case, it was fried, like actually fried. And it was really good. But the soup and the noodles, she wasn't a huge fan of. I thought they were okay, but Jennifer is much more of a, like, she would actually, and I want to make sure that this makes sense. She would actually return food. And really? By that, what I mean is if food was horrible, she would return it.
Yeah.
I'm the type of person that I will suffer through food that I don't like rather than raise a fuss.
Yeah, you and I are the same in that regard.
And she did not return it either. She just mentioned that she wasn't a big fan of it. And offered tips of making it better to the people. I think is all right.
My stance on that is if the food is like, if it's raw but it's supposed to be cooked, like...
Oh.
You know, chicken or something, I'll send it back. If there's something obviously wrong, but if it's just a matter of taste and I just happen to order the wrong thing, that's on me.
Hey, were you at the restaurant where I ordered the bread pudding cold and the actual chef came out and talked and said, this is not how this is supposed to be eaten? Like, he made me absolve him, basically, of whether or not I liked it.
So he still made it for you, but he came out and said, don't blame me for how terrible this is going to be?
This is what happened. I ordered the bread pudding, which, in general, I like to eat cold. Bread pudding in general. And the server just happened to say, oh, let me go and heat that up for you. And I was like, oh, wait, no, if it's cold, don't heat it up. I want it the way it is. And she's like, really? And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, I don't know if I can. And I said, you absolutely can. It's fine. Give it to me the way that it is cold. Because it was already cooked and everything. Yeah. It just happened to be cold. But it wasn't how the chef wanted to serve it. And this is the thing. Anthony Bourdain and I don't get along. And he's dead and I'm alive. So this is all fine.
So point to Paul.
I just mean, we're not actually fighting about anything. But yeah, let's get it on the record. I beat Anthony Bourdain. Thanks, Ben. It's gonna lose me some friends somewhere, probably.
Mention this during the Glitch in the Matrix speech in a couple weeks.
Exactly. Hey! So the Guess world what? Isn't real. Also, Anthony Bourdain, what a jerk. No, and he nothing. Wrote this thing. He wrote this thing about how he could serve people vegetables on a plate and charge them $50 for it, and he'd do it because vegans are stupid and they don't understand what food is, or something to that effect. And I'm like, you could actually try.
He had opinions. That's
there that is much no is reason. Known. Yeah, if you are a chef, you can obviously not do it. You can just say, hey, I don't want to make this kind of food. That's just the way I am. And I don't see a problem with it. But in the other side of things, you know what I mean?
On the other hand,
wouldn't it be a challenge? wouldn't it be a challenge to make something that people like that doesn't have meat in it or animal products? If you've never done that before, wouldn't that be a fun thing to do, Anthony Bourdain? Apparently not.
Oh, I'm sure he's made his fair share of vegan dishes. But, you know, I've never worked in the kitchen.
If he did, he complained about it and said that he wouldn't do it.
I've never worked in the kitchen. I've never worked in a restaurant. I don't know what it's like back there. I have gone out to eat with vegans. And I can imagine that if you're a chef and it's late in your it's late in your shift and you just want to get through the rest of the day, getting an order for something where there are so many like contingencies
substitutions,
involved,
yeah,
substitutions, you know, it's just like, if you want to make this, go home and make it. We make a certain thing here. I mean, that's kind of how I would imagine a chef who's already been standing in the kitchen for 10 hours feels when confronted with, like, I don't want to call them picky eaters, but I will.
Well, yeah, you know? Yeah. I mean, the thing is, and I respect that. I really do. There's a place, and I don't remember what it is. Maybe it's Dairy Queen. I don't know. There's a place around here that has a sign that says, if you have allergens, we cannot guarantee that allergens will not be present in anything that you eat here.
Right.
Which I think is fine. You know, if you don't want to eat this thing, then get ready.
That's why I respect Dick's, because it's like they make, you know, certain things and you cannot, they shut you down. If you're like, can I get that without the mayo? They're like, no, we make these a certain way. And that's how, if you want a burger that you can completely customize, like eight pound burger or something, there's something. There's a fancy burger joint down the street that'll charge you $20 for a hamburger. But if you want to pay, you know, $3.50 for a hamburger, this is your place.
And you will get this hamburger. I remember, I think I might have told you about this. Back when I was living in Seattle, I was working at the community hosting place. Oh, look who it is. It's Edward.
That is not a long cable on your headphones there.
No, it is not.
You almost tore your microphone off.
Oh, yikes. Oh, good thing I didn't. But that's not a good noise. Hey, everybody, listen to that. Sample it. I'll get you one clean one. Hold on. Oh, no, Ben's beatboxing. Hold on. Okay, anyway.
Anyway, so when you're living here,
I've been sick for... Oh, yeah, I was living there, and we were snowed in. And we decided to get pizza. And it just so happened, who's the famous chef guy from Seattle who farmed a table, has got a beard, glasses. He's one of the
Terry
famous chefs.
Terry Rossereau?
No.
Wolfgang Puck?
No, from Seattle. The Seattle chef guy. Can't think of his
Tom
name.
Tom Douglas.
Tom Douglas's pizza place was right across the street from where we were at. So just a small walk and a snowy place. And we found out what his pizza offerings were. And they were so out there that I volunteered to walk the extra, like, five blocks to Pike Place Market area to this Italian and Mexican place. Because they had pepperoni pizza.
Yeah.
So sometimes, yeah, the special things, they are what you want, Ben. You want something, you want Dick's rather than a fancy 8-pound hamburger or whatever.
Yeah. What is the name of that place? I'm actually going to look it up because Capitol Hill
Fancy Burger.
Hamburger. Hamburger.
Did you write hamburger? Is that a?
I wrote hamburger, like Han Solo.
Han Solo, but with burgers.
Yeah. So many burger joints on 8 ounce burger, not 8 pound burger.
Oh,
eight ounce burger.
8 ounce. Did you say 8 pound or did I say 8 pound?
I was thinking of the 8 pound hammer, which is a bar in Georgetown.
Yeah, or 9 pound hammer.
9 pound hammer. Is that it?
I think so. It would be funny if it was, because I haven't lived in that area for a while.
And I can't remember the last time I was in Georgetown, but McCandless and I used to go down to Smarty Pants and get the bucket of beer that they offered, which was a you got a bucket full of ice and it came with like five Coronas or something. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I was going to say, a loose bucket of beer would not be.
But those are good times. I really, I gotta go back to Smarty Pants if they're still open. I'm sure they are, but they had really good BLTs.
Yeah, and there was the Fantagraphics store that was in Georgetown. Yeah. That was pretty
right,
cool.
Yeah, right down the street there. Georgetown's a pretty cool place. Its only fallback is it's not really easy to get to via public transportation.
Yeah. Oh, Circus Class was there as well.
Is that
when Benny had Circus Class? It was in. I forget what it's called now.
Yeah. Not.
I should
not gonna remember.
I shouldn't. Yeah. Well. Apparently,
Smarty Guys is Smarty Pants. You know, when Smarty Pants and Five Guys get together, they create Smarty Guys hamburgers. But Smarty Pants is still it is still open, apparently.
Hey, well, good for them.
Yeah, it's good for them. Good times, good times.
Oh, Edward.
It's always great when an even number of people buy a bucket of beer that has an odd number of bottles in it.
Oh, because then what happens? Yeah.
Well, no, you take it. No, you take it. Well, I'm driving. Okay, I'll have it.
That's always nice, for sure. I'm also, I apologize to everyone for the cord sounds. This is a very small cord.
Yeah, it hardly will even reach into a pocket if you've got got an iPod or something in there.
Well, it's made for these headphones to be plugged into this microphone, and that's pretty much it. I'm sure Jennifer would probably like a longer cord as well.
You can just buy an extension. I got a number of them.
Yeah, these are, I guess the reason is these are Bluetooth headphones. And so they have an auxiliary cord, but they didn't really spend too much time on it, I guess, if that makes sense. Like, also, yeah, sure, here's an auxiliary cord.
If those headphones are made to be plugged into that microphone, they probably made it short specifically so people would maintain a proper distance to the microphone and not be too far away from it.
Oh no, and I misspoke. These headphones were not sold specifically to work with this microphone. I just meant the cord was made to work with these headphones. Gotcha. And I did say to plug these headphones into this microphone, but really what I meant was the cord is made to plug these headphones into whatever they're plugged into. And you know what it is? I keep on hitting this spit guard. Oh, hey, maybe I'm supposed to be this close. Maybe that's why it was so...
pop filter.
Yeah. Puh, 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 puh. Oh, that's nice. Puh, puh,
puh, puh. Today on New Orleans ASMR...
Never rock the mic with the pantyhose. Oh, wow, that just got loud. Yeah, never I think I'm supposed to be this close.
Understood. Oh, well. Yeah, I mean, those... Yeah, I mean, I don't know about that Yeti, but with certain condenser microphones, you have to get right up on it.
Jennifer now has so many different books that she's reading, audiobooks that she's reading for.
Seven, from what I understand.
I think it's her. It's her new job. She's not going to do anything else. Although it's weird, she keeps on trying to call her current employers to like let them know, hey, I'm doing this, can we work something out where I'm part-time or what's happening, but they will not call her back.
Current the audiobook people?
No, she has a job. I'm not going to talk about what her job is.
Okay,
but she has another job right now
and they won't return her calls.
And she wants to let them know, hey, I'm doing audiobooks now. I'm not going to be doing this anymore. And, yeah, they just won't.
That seems odd.
Yeah, it is very, very strange. But, you know, not uncommon. Like, when you're trying to get a job, right, and you have an interview, they may not talk to you about it.
Right.
So maybe it's the same thing. I believe that her plan is just not to go in, and then eventually they'll call her and say, hey, why aren't you coming in? But don't take my word for it. That's just a guess. Does this look all right? Like, I mean, it does look like I'm kind of shadowy.
You're very bright on one half of your face.
Yeah, that's a problem in my opinion. Oh, wait. What if I do...
Well, this isn't film class.
What if I do this? Oh, I mean, I'm more, thinking about...
I'm the, more bright than...
How about this? Is like this good? What about...
When you're talking to Emerson College about the movie, that would work.
Yeah, exactly. This is the thing that I'm worried
about. Just constantly move it in front of your face with the light facing the camera. I think that's a good effect.
This thing is not mine. I did not create this. I am not in charge of it. Ben, I tell you what. One point in time, I was a person who knew about how things worked. I don't know when that changed. But it
did
has...
it change when you became a father? When you maybe suddenly had to pay attention to something else?
Maybe that's it. But I'll tell you, it's not just that. I can say that for sure. I was about to explain to you the problems I was having, but it doesn't matter. I just, you know, have to figure something out before. Like, is that better? Like that?
Like I said, you look blurry to me, and Steven says you look like a potato, a low-resolution potato.
I do not know what's happening with this. Why that is happening.
It's like I was saying, even Logitech might be susceptible to this. Back when the pandemic started, these webcam companies just started churning out webcams because there was such a demand for them. And quality control probably wasn't the best.
Wouldn't I see that problem on my screen also?
Yeah, probably. If you're looking at yourself,
I mean,
that's
the thing. Yeah,
I
am.
You look sharp, and
I look completely fine. Can you guys see my eyes? For example, my eyes
barely.
Yeah. See that? Yeah. Then you totally don't have the same.
And your sound just like the volume just went way down.
Right now?
Yeah. I can barely hear you.
Huh. Okay. I'm going to try something. I'm going to log out of this and log like back into it.
All right. It's like you're disappearing.
And see if that helps at all.
Yeah. My volume for you hasn't changed. You know what I hate
about
Zoom?
I still sound the same.
For whatever reason... The Zoom windows, like the settings window, float above everything else. I can't put it in the background. There's got to be a setting for that.
Okay, let's see. Something. Processor does not meet our recommended standards. Video, let's see here.
I cannot hear you at all.
Really?
No. Yeah. Welcome back to our exciting episode of Paul and Ben Figure Out...
Well, I'm still recording, and I can hear him fine. Yeah. And you can't hear me, Ben, or can you hear me right now? I take this off. Okay. What about
I can hear you, but not as loudly.
Huh. That's really odd.
Steven said he's texting you stills from the YouTube feed.
Okay, let me take a look at the YouTube feed. Well,
and he says he can hear us both, so maybe it's just me for whatever reason.
Okay, so when you guys say low resolution, you're obviously, I do not look this bad, but it's in no way as bad as I was imagining. You were saying I looked. So yeah, I think that this is just losing being lost in translation on the Zoom call.
Jesus Christ. All right.
Oh, was that loud?
I was adjusting my volume and you suddenly popped loud, so it's something with my computer. This is a hacked together machine that I had nothing to do with. So the person who built it is no longer lives in town. So every once in a while, things happen, and it's a fun surprise.
Okay, like, so
I don't even know if I'm allowed to update it.
I really don't know what else I can do on my end as far as this stuff goes, because I'll be fine. But I am gonna go and come back in just a second.
All right. I mean, but hey, look, I'm just
all right.
Gonna
so I still hear myself.
That.
I'm now going to and go ahead and
like
join the Zoom meeting again.
Screen, which is my screen as well.
But I really don't think the problem is on my end.
Something
this is just
where
me talking.
Since I'm doing it full
I mean, there's
screen
not a lot
my
that
monitor,
I can
my Zoom monitor
that I can do.
It might be because it's blowing it up, but I can't take it.
I so mean, it's a
use that. It looks and a little sharper.
Okay, and look, I went back to Dr. Bauer.
Yeah, you did. All right, I'm gonna change
that's
a few things
so weird
on my end and move that up. Scale.
Hey, everybody listening to the podcast. Why are you listening to the podcast? It's always interesting. You should write to us at bensemail@yahoo.com and gmail.com and tell us why you listen to the podcast. Do you just have it running in the background? Are you friends with either Ben or I and you miss us? Do we have a parasocial relationship where you think that you know us better than you do?
Fundamentally, it looks the same.
That's so weird.
Don't know what to tell you. Steven, no, I don't think we need new hardware. This stuff is fine. I just don't know how it works because it was built by somebody who is much more comfortable tinkering around in the command line than I am.
My video looks fine where I'm at, so I don't know if a better camera would do anything.
Yeah. Better. I wonder if it's my Zoom on my end. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe.
Do you have a thing about, like, compressing other people's video or anything like that?
No, I don't. I wonder if there's a setting that I can control on my end. This is, I'm sure, scintillating content.
Yes,
for anybody
everybody
who's
loves it. And we're. We're the best ones, and we do a great job.
Exactly. Yeah. Welcome to, happy International Podcasting Day.
Hey, that's right. And Ben, how long have we been podcasting now?
A number of years. You and
right.
I. We,
like did... 7 years, right?
Has it been that long?
Is
well,
that
this is
possible?
Episode, this is episode 292.
Well, did we start when I mean, we had one episode before I left Seattle.
Exactly. We had one episode before we knew you were moving.
Did we start right after I got here, or did we start like a year later or something?
No, I think we started. It took us a while to get back up. So our first episode was August 13th, 2014.
Okay.
So more than 7 years ago, which is wild to think about.
Yeah.
And our first regular episode was on a little bit later, March 4th, 2016.
Okay. So, but for 5 years,
it's been
five years.
Over
5 years, collectively over 5 years.
Indeed.
We have been podcasting. So good for us. I say, what a good job we're doing. Now marketing our podcast, not as great.
Well, we've successfully marketed to our friend Stephen McCandless.
Yes, our friend Stephen McCandless. So many other people have stopped listening, which I can understand.
We did make an effort that one day to like I emailed the Annex company and I'm like, hey, subscribe to our channel on YouTube and watch the show this week and, call in or text if you want to interact with us. And we had I think that was the largest audience we had during a live stream, which was probably 10 people. So
something to that effect, yeah.
Something like that.
Ooh, you can hear me petting the dog. Can you?
A little bit. I think for me, Zoom is doing that thing because your audio is coming through Zoom, and it does that thing where it tries to suppress background noises.
Ah, yes.
It is so smart.
So that's pretty cool. Yeah, I my computer does not have enough processing power to do a background. I have found out.
Oh, yes. Even if you have a green screen, I found out that if your computer doesn't have enough processing power to do an artificial background, it will still do that if you have a green screen.
Really?
Yeah, so if you click I have a green screen, then that option might be available to you. Yours, I don't know. I've just found that out through trial and error.
All we would need to do is put a green screen. You know, obviously, a podcasting booth made out of a green screen would be like the ultimate.
I was thinking about maybe hanging something up here just so I can have a green background.
Yeah.
But I don't really care.
I like what Pee Wee Herman used to do where he would have just a background that he would. Okay. Now, here's something that I think is kind of funny about me and Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Okay.
I knew that Pee Wee Herman had a show called Pee Wee's Playhouse. And I knew that Pee Wee Herman was a character. And I knew that Pee Wee's Playhouse was, you know, not real. That it was a set. But I also, at the time, was like, you know, I bet you that Pee Wee Herman, like, in his real life, probably does have all this wacky stuff around his house. And I'm still not sure if that's true or not, but I do remember there was a signed photo of Pee Wee Herman in Archie McPhee thanking them for all the stuff. So I think I might be right. I think that Paul Reubens' house might be full of kitschy stuff.
I wouldn't be surprised.
There would be no reason for it not to be, is what I'm saying, I guess. I just found out today, Five Guys, no drive-thru.
Really?
Yeah.
Because that would take six guys to make a drive-thru work?
Apparently, they've never had a drive-thru. Oh, man, wouldn't that be something if Five Guys, if there only were Five Guys working there? It was a rule?
No women.
Five Guys.
Read the sign.
You see this? Exactly.
Every time.
Boy Scouts of America are changing their names. Maybe they already have.
The Scouts of America?
Because they're going to be letting
non-boys
in. Oh, I don't know. I mean, this is the thing.
Doing a blanket non-boy, non-male.
Like gender won't matter. And again, it's one of those things of I have experienced in my life when things are opened up that sometimes different places, different, like a certain church who has their Boy Scout troop might still call it the Boy Scouts, might not like, you know, that kind of thing. And then if you try to change that, then they'll be like, oh, you're pushing your own agenda here.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So there's what's the law on paper and what they'll accept. And it's been getting better. It's not all the way there yet.
I
guess is what I would say.
I hadn't heard this. I don't really. I was a Cub Scout when I was a kid. I never made it to Boy Scouts. But I knew that as a kid, I was not in favor of girls being a part of the Boy Scouts or the Cub Scouts. It was just a thing when you're 12, you know, it was just these are boys. This is the Boy Scouts. You have your own thing. You have Girl Scouts, you know. Why are you now? Granted, when I was a kid, transgender kids and non-binary kids was not really a thing. It might have been a thing, but those kids didn't join the Boy Scouts, and so I don't know what the prevailing feeling would have been had a non-binary person who maybe was born genetically one way or the other but decided to join the Boy Scouts. I don't know what that reception would have been like.
So I do have a question about this because, and I've talked about it before. I probably already talked about it on here, but it wasn't until I was 7 years old, second grade, that I really got what people were trying to tell me about the gender differences between people. Like, I kind of got it. I sort of understood, but, and I told you about this before. I was at the zoo and I'm picking lion as the animal because I don't remember which animal it was. And somebody had said, well, there are boy lions and girl lions. And I was like, I don't know what that means. I don't understand. And they were like, well, you know, like how I'm a boy and she's a girl. And I was like, what are you guys talking about? And somebody actually sat me down and explained the difference. And eventually I was like, oh yeah, okay, I get it. But I didn't really get it. I understood that there were two groups. One group was boys and one group was girls. And I was in the boys group. But I didn't understand how that was decided or anything like that. And then in second grade, I figured out, and I was very proud, and I told my dad. I remember we were in the car. We were driving by there was a soccer field. Driving by the soccer field, and I was looking at the soccer field, and I saw that they were girls who were playing soccer. And I said, Dad, those kids who are playing soccer are girls. And he was like, right. And I was like, and I can tell because they have boobs. And he was like, okay, great. So that was second grade, and I figured that out. But it wasn't until, and I'm serious about this, fifth grade that I understood anything about that there were pants differences. Like that if you were born with one set of genitals, you were a boy by their standards, and another set, you were a girl. I did not know that people had different sets.
Fifth grade, huh?
Yeah, fifth grade, which is pretty late.
Yeah.
I think. And up until that, this is when sex education happened in the school. And up until that point, I thought that getting pregnant was something that happened automatically. Like,
you just hit a certain age and.
Right. Like and what had happened was I had conflated menstruation with being pregnant. Which, I mean, they are tied together in a certain way.
Well, you knew what menstruation was, at least.
Yeah, well, because of commercials. Menstruation, as you know, is when blue fluid leaks out of a of a girl. Yep. What I gleaned from watching television.
And deodorant was something you put on your forearm.
Yeah, exactly. That's how these things worked. But no, so after a while, you would eventually become pregnant spontaneously. And so that's why when it was like, there was a TV show called Sweet 16 and Pregnant or something like that. And there's a picture of a girl and she drew a belly on a picture of her. I don't know why I remember that, but I remember that distinctly. And I was like, I don't get it. Some women just get pregnant earlier. And the people who I was talking to didn't understand that I was unaware of how pregnancy worked. So they were like, well, yeah, but they should be more careful. And I was like, well, I mean, they can't help it.
Is this still fifth grade, Paul?
No, this is fourth grade.
Fourth grade, Paul.
Yeah, because fifth grade, then I learned about, like, that we had the sex education about how it all
came together. Yeah.
Yeah. Ba-dum-bum. No, come on. Hey, it's all fine. No jokes.
But apparently, I didn't know this, but modern advertisements for period products make direct reference to bleeding and demonstrate fluid dynamics with red liquid. I have not seen these commercials, but that's what Steven tells us.
Well, there we go, finally. But yeah, it was difficult for me to navigate those waters, as it were. And I think our school, our class was unique in that I don't believe that they separated us. They might have, but I don't think they did. The grades before us, girls would go in one room, boys would go in one room, and boys wouldn't learn about menstruation or anything like that. That was just for the girls. And I have pinpointed this tendency to separate boys and girls as a reason for a lot of problems that happen in, like, dating and, you know, misogyny in general, all that kind of stuff, because you have men teaching people that they've designated as men how men are supposed to interact with women. And they're not learning by actually directly talking to anyone. You know, they explain and they're like, okay, now go and do those things. And I don't know. It turns out to be, if I was telling this to Jennifer today, if I had not been taught that my relationship with a woman was supposed to progress to the point that we were dating and then eventually getting married, right? And if that didn't work with that woman, then you go to the other woman and you can't really be friends with them because then the other women get to all that stuff that men taught me really messed me up for a long period of time. And it's gotten better. I mean, I've unlearned a lot of my bad habits, but for a while, you know, what do I say? You say what you say to other people. Your relationship, your friend relationship with someone is your friend relationship with someone. And you don't have to, it doesn't have to be weird. It doesn't have to progress to any certain place. You can just be friends and it's fine. And for me anyway, no one sat me down and told me that when I was growing up.
Yeah, you learn a lot of things in elementary school, but one of them is not how to be a good human being.
Exactly. And you could. We could teach that, I think. Just have LeVar Burton teach everything. What?
Behavior class? Yeah.
Now that would be, yeah, that'd be nice. Oh, look, there's a woman and she's reading a book. What do you do? Can I let her read the book? Oh, no. You got to start talking to her. See, that would be the non-behavior class.
Make fun of
the
kind of book that she's reading. No.
I ask her why she's reading, if it's for a class, and if she says no, she just wants to read, I look at her and go, what? That happened to me all the time. No. What class is that for? It's not for a class. I'm just reading it.
What
for? Oh, my God. Oh, Ben. Bix. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Looks like we got ourselves a reader.
He was classist as well. You can't help but be it sometimes. I've been listening to a lot of people who talk about class consciousness and stuff like that. And one of their big things is that you really shouldn't hate the people who get all of their news from watching Fox News and therefore have a skewed idea of how the world works. They are victims of brainwashing.
And they will say the exact same thing about you.
No, they won't.
Oh, yes.
No.
You get all your news from the fake news? CNN and MSNBC is fake news. I'm sad that you've been brainwashed.
Well, this is what they'll say. They'll say CNN and MSNBC are fake news. And I'll say, I don't watch those. And then they'll say, but... And I'll say, can I just shoot the pumpkin cannon?
It doesn't matter. As long as you think poor people have, you know, should have some dignity and abortion should be legal, wherever you get your news is fake news.
You know, it's interesting that you mention that, too, because Jennifer had mentioned this. She was doing, census work in general and just going into a lot of places around here. And that there are people who are poor who do not consider themselves poor. They think that there is another class of poor people under them. that, like, so they don't take advantage of government programs sometimes. Like, government programs that they qualify for. And they, you know, they're struggling. And they're like, I don't see why my tax money should go to these programs. And it's like, you can take advantage of these programs. You should take advantage. But if they do that, then they become the people that they've been told are a drain on the system.
Yeah.
When in fact, you know, and maybe that's part of it. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe, and I don't, you know, where do the lines blur between the people who are in charge of media and people who are in charge of government and all that kind of stuff? I don't know. But maybe disincentivizing a large portion of the people that could benefit from social programs is a way for them to take the burden off of the social program. I don't like it.
It's also, I mean, I can't remember where I saw this like theory or hypothesis, but you know, one of the reasons why these people who are in, you know, who may be economically disadvantaged, why they buy into the whole Fox News, OAN, Newsmax talking points of how, you know, poor people are a drain on the system, is that they all consider themselves to be millionaires in waiting.
Yeah, yeah.
And absolutely. And it's, you know, why would I want to tax the wealthy? Because when I'm wealthy, I don't want to be taxed. And so maybe taking advantage of those social programs is sort of a way of admitting, yeah, you know, maybe I'm not going to be a billionaire in my lifetime.
Yeah, I was at Abe's Barbershop in Mount Baker. Or actually, let's see. Mount Baker, what's up the hill from Mount Baker? Which stop?
On the light rail?
There's the Mount Baker stop, and then there's the
Columbia City?
No, before Columbia City.
Othello?
No, before Othello, by where my house used to be.
I don't.
The Red Apple is there.
I don't know. I don't know what the stop is called. It's by Garfield High School.
No. After that. Ah, geez, Ben, where did I used to live? Mount Baker. Mount Baker is one of the stops. But there's another stop. And when you find out what it is, you're gonna think that I'm crazy for not knowing the name of that stop.
All right. Well, I have to look it up because obviously this is a stopping point. Let's see. Columbia City and Othello are on one side of Mount Baker. Beacon Hill and Soto are on the other side.
Beacon Hill. So Abe's Barbershop, you get off Beacon Hill, you walk down Beacon Hill. It may not be there anymore, but it was on the right. Anyway, Abe was cutting my hair one day, and yeah, that was his big thing, was that basically white people is a scam that rich people run on, you know, other people, saying, hey, we're all one group. We're all one group. What benefits me benefits all of you as well. Yeah, one day, you know, we're all white people. One day you can get where I'm at. Because we're all white people. He explained that to me, that that it's a scam that, and basically the thing that he said, and you're seeing it happen apparently now, that, you know, white people are shrinking, right? The amount of white people is low in the census. And so what happens is they expand what it means to be a white person. You know, so you get the Irish and the Germans becoming white people. Right? At first it was just white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, right? People from the UK, things like that, who were over here. And we
the Irish.
Yeah, exactly. And then they expanded. And everybody knows this. I'm not saying anything new that people know about, but it was the first time that he explained that it was a socioeconomic thing as well, that it's a construct to insulate the rich white people by making the poor white people think that they could be rich white people too if they just worked hard enough and saved enough money and got lucky breaks and all that kind of stuff.
That was all this whole talking point about how millennials these days have a really hard time because they're saddled with all of this student debt, and housing prices are just absurd. And, you know, you get like rich white people saying, well, if these millennials lay off the avocado toast and maybe, you know, take a second job, then they'll be able to afford their house.
You know. Gen X, right?
I'm Gen X. Yeah. I'm like that. I'm 2 years away from the tail end of it.
Yeah. You and I are both Gen X, and I have this thing, and I don't want to talk about it online because I'm afraid of getting, you know, into a huge argument that I, you know, can't get out of, but I feel like millennials and Gen X are actually one long smear of a generation. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. But that really Gen X and millennials are both suffering from the excesses of the boomer generation. And that there is a lot that actually binds us together. Media things, you know, the same, we listen to the same music, the same TV show. It's just that they listen to it a second time after us. Right.
Yeah.
And that we connect on a lot of different ways. And I don't know. I mean, I don't own a house. You don't own a house, right? The whole thing about millennials can't afford houses. Lots of Gen X people can't either.
Well, but here's the thing though. I could have, if I wanted to, when, you know, I was actually considering buying a house back in like 1998, 1999. But at that point in my life, you know, I had a good job. I, you know, real estate prices weren't insane, but I didn't think I was going to be in Seattle for the next 30 years. So I'm like, it was feasible, it was possible.
Would you have been buying a house or would you have been getting a mortgage? You would have been getting a mortgage, right?
What's the difference?
Buying a house, eventually you pay it off and you actually own that house.
Yeah.
Would you have been able to pay it off eventually?
I don't know. I mean, that...
Because that's the thing again, that I see a lot
was not of, part. That was not part of the plan.
I see a lot of my contemporaries buying a house and they get a mortgage that they're never going to pay off. They're just paying rent to a bank instead of a person.
Yeah.
Which is a little crazy. But you know, it's still how they think of each other.
You still build equity in a way that you don't when you rent, right?
So
you have this mortgage. You technically own this real estate, you know.
Yeah.
And so after 10 years, if you want to sell it, you can refinance or whatever. I don't know any of this crap, but you get more money, you know, than if you get money out. You build equity and credit and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, it didn't happen for me either the two times that I got a mortgage, but it could happen. I don't know. Yeah. Now I'm in a moral quandary. I don't think I would ever want to buy a house again.
Yeah.
Because the land is stolen, Ben. The land does not belong to the people who are selling it to you. You're basically receiving
land. If you have what we have here, maybe you do, but if you want to live on stolen land here and own, you can donate to realrentduwamish.org.
What is that?
Realrentduwamish.org is a way for you to pay rent to the Duwamish people.
For the house that you have.
For the land that you live on. For the stolen land, the unceded land that your house occupies. And so maybe if you, you know, if you start feeling guilty, you can look up which people first lived on your land and see if they have a way to contribute.
Man, one of the most depressing things was looking at the different tribes that were around here, because a lot of what you find is records of what happened to them rather than where the survivors are right now.
Yeah.
Which is not great. But that's a good thing, yeah. Now here's the thing. This is where I differ a little bit. If I am paying rent to somebody who has a house on stolen land, I feel all right about doing that because I'm paying this guy. I'm not saying this is my place. But yeah, if I were to actually buy a house that was on some land, yeah, I would feel like that would be the least that I could do, probably. But people probably don't factor that into, you know.
No, it's never really been in the popular consciousness until, you know, the last decade or so. Nobody, when people were, when developers were buying up land around here, nobody gave a second thought to, you know, the dead, you know, Duwamish and Coast Salish people buried underneath all the foundations.
And on that note, what a great time.
I'm with you. I do not want to own. I would like to own a place just to build that equity and, you know, cash out after 30 years and have some money and then rent. But I don't want the responsibility of owning a place.
Yeah, I haven't talked to Jennifer about this that much, and I don't know if she'd be down for it or not. But what I really want to do is I want to own a vehicle. You know, either a boat or a caravan or whatever. And that's the thing that I own. And then I just drive it around to places. And I'm like, can I put this here? You know, that sort of thing. Rather than, this is my land. This is, you know, well, where I...
Yeah.
Because...
People don't like that, though. We have a lot of RVs that are parked around town. And, it's the scourge of society. People hate RV dwellers.
Really?
Oh, yeah. No, it's,
well, in the city, I can understand. But
I don't want to call it the homeless problem. But, yeah, you got a real, like, my city is being ruined because your dirty RV is parked on a side street kind of vibe around here lately.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for me, I wouldn't ever, you know, stay in a city for that long of a time. You know, move on to new places. That's what I want. Just a slow moving house that visits all 50 states. And I think it can happen. I really think that we will get there within the next like 20 years. It'll be something like that.
When you say we, you mean you and Jennifer? Just living in an RV? Just,
no, I just mean society will build a slow moving RV that that you don't have to worry about. My idea would be that eventually flying cars become a thing because, you know, they're all on autopilot and everybody feels safe about them or whatever. Yeah. And then the highways are unused. And so people just build these sort of land barges that they live on that go from place to place. And you just visit all sorts of, you know, you're an old person, you just visit a whole bunch of places.
Well, if you want to learn about van life, you can follow Glitch on Twitter, GLYTCH.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah. And with that.
Yes, Ben, as always, I ask you to keep it wrong.
Yeah, and wherever your van lands these days, I hope you keep it wrong there as well. And I will talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week, Ben. See you later.
Bye.
Room tone.
The stream is over.